Hey there, welcome to the Biz Under Construction podcast. I'm Cora Lee, and this is the podcast for women business owners in the construction industry that struggle knowing how their business is doing, are working nonstop, and don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. So whether you're just starting out or you want to take your construction business to the next level, let me tell you, as a woman with 25 years in the construction industry, including 15 years as a business owner, I can help. This show is going to help you make more money, finally stop working 7 days a week, and actually be able to take a bloody vacation. So let's get to work. Hello and welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to bring you today's guest because she can change your life. And I know somebody just like her that changed my life many years ago. So I'm really hopeful that you're open to hearing how she can change your life. So who I have for you today is Andrea Samborski. As a former Finnish carpenter, Andrea is no stranger to the often unpredictable working conditions in the trades and construction industry. It's her past experiences that led her to wanting to be part of improving the construction industry from within. Andrea's aim is to help contractors reduce their stress by tackling their to-do list. Andrea, welcome and thank you so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to jump in.
Good. So let's, your bio is short. I don't know if you've heard some of my other interviews. Some of them are quite lengthy. So your bio is short and like to the point. So I'm going to get you to start by maybe saying, who is Andrea?
I grew up in rural Nova Scotia with a mom who could do anything. It was her who really took on all of the projects around the house. My dad was a long haul truck driver, and every time he came home, something else would have changed. They used to call it the 100-year project, and it just one room at a time, she worked away. So I grew up seeing that she could do anything, seeing that, she was the one that bought all the tools, that used all the tools. I'm not sure my dad would have known how or where to start. but I didn't grow up with that same belief or that same expectation that a career in the trades was even an option. I think like many, I ended up there by accident a lot later in life and wished that I had found it a whole lot sooner.
Yeah, I had that same kind of thing happen to me. It's just like my whole life, I loved construction, but why wasn't it an option when I graduated high school to pursue that? It's so odd. So what was the journey for you to get into construction, become a Finnish carpenter? How did that happen for you?
It all starts with a boy, right? I had followed a then boyfriend to Saskatchewan to work in the oil field. He worked the rigs and I worked typical customer service, bartending kind of jobs to get me through. And after that relationship went south, the timing of it was really good. I was coming up on my birthday, and that time of year, the Calgary Stampede is hosted, and it was just a short drive away. So I went and stayed with some family for the weekend and went and enjoyed the Stampede before I figured I would inevitably pack my things and move back east. And while I was there, my uncle, who was VP of a prefab framing shop, asked me to come in and see the shop, to come take a tour and see if a role within it might be something I was interested in. The company liked to hire a couple of women within the shop as their token women, so they could say they hired them within the companies. And I guess the rest is history. I toured the shop and absolutely fell in love with the idea of it. I remember calling my mom that evening and saying, "Mom, I'm going to be a carpenter." And she laughed, and it had nothing to do with what she figured I could or couldn't do in this life. It had everything to do with the fact that, in her words, I was the clumsiest person she knew. And I was terrified of ladders. And so the two often don't pair well with a career in the trades. But it really was the catalyst to everything else. Before long, I was looking at work up in the oil field Anyway, I figured if I was away from all my family and friends for work, that I may as well kind of go that extra distance and really give it a go. And then it kind of just spiraled out from there. I just took opportunity after opportunity, following the progression from labor and rock truck driver in the oil field to going back to some different pre-framing options in a shop, and then to on-site carpentry and then finished carpentry. A lot of it, I think, came out of more negative experiences with foremen. And so anytime a better opportunity came up, I was quick to jump at it.
So, how did you end up doing what you're doing now?
After doing the finished carpentry for a handful of years, I pursued a career as a construction safety officer. And while working within that role, it became quite apparent that it is a necessary one, but not a well-supported one. And I struggled with feeling like I was the only one who cared. And at the time, I was working for a site super who was very kind of old school in his thinking and wasn't a very kind person. We'll say our values didn't align. And at that time, I was approached by a government-funded program that I had previously partnered with my own carpentry journey. And they help people within the trades, new apprentices, find their kind of first working opportunity. The idea is that if you can make that first opportunity a great one for tradespeople, the retention within the industry stays a lot higher. So I went to that program. I absolutely loved working for them. I loved the community involvement side of it. And then when COVID hit, I lost all my favorite parts of that job as we transitioned to working from home. And as a former finished carpenter, a lot of the people I follow online are contractors or tradespeople within the industry. And I had noticed one contractor kind of mention a few times in his stories that he was struggling to really prioritize spending time in the office working on his admin. And it was, kind of at that time where I was looking maybe for a new opportunity. I wasn't feeling the most supported at the time. And I had reached out and I said, I see this need in your business. I've heard you mention that you haven't really made time, the time that you should be to focus on the administrative side of your business. And I also am aware that your wife is, due in the coming months with your first child. And so any extra time you do have now, you are about to have less of very soon.
Way to take advantage
And
of the opportunity.
yes, for sure. So we both laughed about it and said I kind of created the role for myself within his business. It was kind of right place at the right time. I was listening to a need that he had and figured that between my construction experience and administrative experience from previous roles, that I could jump in and help him out. And we are still currently working together 3 years later.
Oh wow. That's a long term.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What is it that you do? Whether it be for
Oh.
him or other people, where do you want to start?
Right? Loaded question. It really started as more the back end stuff, the stuff you don't really see. So document creation, running payroll, and it quickly grew into more the project coordination side, actually. So I handle everything from incoming leads to really all the communication with the homeowners throughout the project. I am there as a support for the site supervision team. I call for inspections. I order materials, really anything that they kind of need a hand with. I like to work on processes so that we can implement repeatable steps so that me, the team, and the business owner are all on the same page and are working to streamline those processes.
That sounds like everything. It sounds like you do everything except for maybe be on site. So this client, is he local to you?
No, actually. So I am located near Vancouver in Canada. He is in Toronto, Ontario. And actually, none of the clients I have supported have been even within a 4-hour drive of me. So I haven't actually worked with anybody local. Everybody has, it has always been remote.
Oh, very interesting. So how does that work? Like, I don't know, I guess over time we've kind of gotten used to Zoom as almost as good as being in person, but to really get a sense of how they operate, how does that work if you can't actually be in their space to see it? Or do you just have to have a conversation and go, okay, he needs help with everything?
A little bit of both, right? I definitely utilize Zoom. I like to have a once a week meeting. I think that that focused time really allows both of us to get on the same page. I come in with an agenda and a list of questions, information I might need to complete the tasks for that week. So it gives me that undivided attention with the business owner that is sometimes harder to get throughout the week with how busy they can be. It also gives him a chance to maybe reprioritize some of the tasks that I'm working on and add tasks to that list. It also kind of creates space for the business owner to also sit down and get some of that work done that they might be kicking down the road. So it really creates that time of hammering out what I need from them, what they need from me, and then giving us both time in that call to really action some of the tasks on their to-do list.
So who is it that's, does he say to you, I need these 14 things done this week? Or are you saying this email came in and this phone call came in and we needed to prioritize this? So are you giving him things to do and him giving, I'm just thinking back to, you know, you're being your first client when you were first trying to figure it all out. It's kind of what I think we're talking about here specifically. Is it kind of back and forth where you're giving him things and he's giving you things and you work together in that way? Is that kind of how it evolves?
Yeah.
Or do you find that you're more telling him you need to do this, you need to do that, and you're just kind of running his business and he just needs to do his piece?
A bit of both. In the beginning, when we started working together and I started suggesting some of some processes that we should implement, he had laughed and said, I feel like you are trying to remove me from my business. And I chuckled and said, yeah, ideally we would. And it isn't that you aren't wanted there or aren't valuable there. You're the most valuable part of the business. But it really comes down to waking up and choosing how you spend that day. What part of your business just jazzes you up? What would have you bouncing out of bed? How do we get you focused on spending more time doing those things rather than just fighting fires all day, every day? And so I meant it with the best of intentions, because I really think that the more streamlined that you can get that business, the more you can support your team, empower them to take control of their roles, the more it opens you up to dream bigger and go further.
What do you think the biggest mistake is that your clients are making before they find you?
I think it's probably hard to get out of. But I think it's really focusing on the fires. I sometimes wish they could step back momentarily and put some better practices into place, recognizing that it might make life a little uncomfortable in the immediate future, but long term, it will cause far less fires to ignite.
Yes. I agree. So
better say, or better, easier said than done, right?
Yeah. But you know, I think it is the awareness, just like, okay, you know, if you plant the seed for somebody who's listening here, say, okay, what is, and they can just kind of think about what could that look like for me? What if I wasn't putting out fires every day? You know, wow. Dare to dream. So in that situation, what do you know, you say easier said than done. What can they do? Like, what does it take for them to do that first step?
I think a great place to start is recognizing that you don't need to do it alone. That there is support out there, just like me and plenty of others, but also that the best way you could probably give yourself some time back is to wake up just a little bit earlier than the rest of your team. I honestly think that business owners are able to get more done probably an hour before their day starts than they can the rest of the day combined. And I don't think, I know even myself as a business owner, I don't practice that often enough, but I do know that if I wake up and I start my day just a little bit earlier, whether that be with work or even if that's focusing on you, your physical health and your mental health, maybe it looks like just starting your day a little differently. But I really think that how you spend kind of that first hour or two really makes a difference. Even on site, I knew of a site super who would typically either come in an hour earlier or even just stay an hour later than anybody else on site. And it was that same recognition of understanding that you get so much more done when you aren't being pulled in every direction, from everybody else with their problems.
Yeah, that's interesting because for you to get up a little bit earlier before the team does, if your one client is in Toronto, for example, and that's 3 hours, that's not waking up an hour earlier. That's waking up more like 4 hours earlier. So, I guess it's all relative, isn't it?
I never did find a great solution to that. I won't lie.
Well,
That's very
that's
true.
we definitely like I'm an early bird anyway. I'm usually up by 4 o'clock. So, but those hours between 4 and 6 are the most productive, the most you can get the most done in that time for sure. Like my husband, when he's doing his designs or whatever, he'll still to this day, he gets up, early to do his work because he's more focused. Nobody's calling him, nobody's emailing him, and you can actually get work done. Yes, I
Yes.
agree with you there. So on your journey, from like say that first client 3 years ago to where you are now and how your the role that you've taken on has evolved, what has been your one of your or your biggest like light bulb moments when you've were like, this is where I can make the difference for these people?
That's a good question. I think in providing a little bit of guidance, I think in helping them see the importance of planning. That was something that was nice to do with one of my clients, where we kind of had sure the daily recurring tasks or the tasks that would pop up, but also where do you want to go and how do you want to get there? And that also gave me a chance in the in-between moments of working on their tasks to work on things that would drive things forward. But I really think it comes down to being intentional with their time. And I try to be a help with that. So say for our weekly meetings, I really try to come in with that set agenda, so that I can lead moving forward. So it's not just time out of their day where they could be spending it doing something else. It's really working on things that are going to move the needle. I have a journal kind of planner combination that I really like one particular part of, and it's an activity in what are my three most important things today. And I think that on days I can start with that clarity, it really makes a difference for my own sanity, and I think it's one that would make a difference for other business owners' sanity as well. Really recognizing that if these are the only three things that you get done today, today was a success.
Is
And I
that the full
think,
focus planner?
oh, to be honest, I don't even know. It's hiding in here somewhere.
Oh, I have one that's the full focus planner, and that is Hyatt. What's his name? He has the book, the 12 week year or whatever it is. Michael Hyatt, I think it is. And he's got one that's called the full focus planner, and that it has the same thing, and he breaks it out, but then he also is part of that journal at the front of it. He has Like you're laying out your quarterly goals, you're laying out your annual goals. He has like a habit tracker. Like he has all of these tools within this journal and planner that is really valuable for people who are just trying to get their time managed well. So that's why I was just wondering if that's what that was, because that's part of it is three big goals for today. So who's your ideal client?
In a perfect ideal world, I think I would be focusing solely on female contractors. I do recognize that I think my preference lies within general contractors. I like being able to help in various ways, I think, within the company. I also think that within general contracting, it's sometimes easier to place a little bit of space within you and say inquiries. Like I can make different automations work for us that I don't find work as well in smaller contracting businesses where the phone rings and you really have to pick it up because that's your lead that you're going to go estimate tomorrow and the job you're going to run a week from now. So I think I really like the cadence of larger scale renovations and home building. I also think that that's what's home for me. So I also think that there is just a level of understanding that I also enjoy. And I like feeling like a part of the team and something bigger. And I get to personally feel that a little more, working with general contractors. So my absolute preference would be would be female GCs. But I also fall in love with passion. And I think that that is often how I find who I want to work with. But three of the five clients I have supported have been GCs. So it's definitely also most common for me.
And so, what is your ideal client, this female general contractor? What is she feeling? What is she going through? What is she experiencing right before she hears this podcast and finds like, oh, you exist?
Overwhelmed. Debating whether she's turning the podcast on, probably, or what she could be working on. She's probably trying to multitask. She's probably listening to this to try to gain awareness or learn tips and tricks, while maybe completing the work on site or, maybe sitting at the table invoicing. But I think overwhelmed is the general, probably the general idea, and maybe alone. I think it's easy to feel like you are in this by yourself. That while maybe you have a spouse or a good set of girlfriends that you can maybe vent to or talk things through with, it's not quite the same. And so I used to chuckle that it's kind of a built-in benefit of working with me is that I was that sounding board. I think that, the contractors who I support, I think their spouses actually hear a little bit less of the frustration because I work a bit of as that buffer.
So maybe your ideal client is the partner of the business owner.
I agree.
Market to them, say, I can take all that burden for you.
I agree. And actually, so while all the work I do that is remote, I actually enjoy meeting my clients. I think that it's just a wonderful excuse for me to take a little trip. I think it really helps with my relationship, I think. And so I can think back to a time where I actually spoke to one of the contractors I support, his wife, and I said asked her what she sees as the biggest issues within his business, because what he sees and what she sees were actually ended up being very different things. So for him, it had a lot more to do with the stuff that was going on during his day, how everybody needed him. For her, it was actually the way he was coming home from work. So it would be that they were just getting, maybe their son down for bed and they were finally like cuddling up on the couch, just having some time between the two of them. And that's when his phone would start going off from every single crew member asking what the plan was for tomorrow. And that was something that in his mind was a non-issue. But for her, she was like, I just want that time back. I want to be able to sit down in the evening and us just to connect. So it is interesting because I do think that the partners have a very different outlook on things if they aren't involved in the business.
Agreed. And I think that it's such a, like, because my husband and I were in it together. I get it. However, what I also see is that you have to do what you have to do when you're a solo business owner. Like that's when you don't have help, when you don't have the systems in places you in place, you need to do what you need to do. And you need your partner to understand that. Like you, when you're trying to build a business and you think that you're doing it all on your own and you're, you know, this is how you're going to do it, your relationship is going to suffer because your partner's not going to understand. I very rarely do they understand and give you that space you need. So I think, yes, committing to actually hiring someone, because I know for me, and I want to share this because, and if anybody's listened to my other podcasts, I've talked about this a lot. It was hard for me to hire my first administrative helping person. And when I finally did it, to this day, she is still, and if any of my past employees are listening to this, she's still my favorite employee. And she was my favorite person, my favorite employee, because she made my life easier. Like she just, because we as women, especially business owners in the construction industry, we hold so much in. And she just gave me a platform or a space to unload a few things, just like, here's a thing that I don't need to deal with anymore. And here's the thing. And I could just still carry on being okay. And she just made me more okay and easier to be okay because she could lighten the burden. So I think that the service that you provide to your people is invaluable. And I really think it's important for people to understand that they need to give themselves this, I would call it a blessing, this very, the thing for them. So anyway, I thank you for what it is that you do,
I
but
love
that's kind of
that.
a side point. I guess kind of from that little piece, my next question, you know, what do people need to know about working with you or another administrative person remotely, like whether it be the remote aspect of it or the service you could provide, the things you can do, what do they need to know to help them make the decision as to, you know, if this is a good fit for them or not?
I think, first of all, recognizing that to a degree, the business owner does have to be able to recognize what it is that they want to offload onto the other person. I think sometimes I hear about the struggles of finding the right person, and some of it comes down to the effort that the contractor is putting into that relationship. While I wish that I could come in and fix everything from the outside, I do still require the personal part that comes from that business owner. And so sure, once you're off and running, the recurring tasks maybe become very easy to manage. But the ongoing projects require a little bit different attention. So that would be one. My main suggestion to contractors before bringing somebody on is spend a week, preferably even two, where you document everything that you do in a day. Even better if while you're doing it, you're documenting the time it took. And so that allows you to take a look at those items and figure out which are tasks that you need to do, which of those tasks are maybe tasks you can empower your current team to take on if you have a team, which of those can you outsource, and which maybe are just busy work that actually isn't getting you anywhere, or time spent scrolling, and really taking a look at that. And that helps you to not only approach the right person, because coming into the conversation with the types of tasks that you need them to do is crucial, but it also lets them know the level of support that you're going to need when it comes to time. So that helps them also price those services a lot more accurately for you. I think it's important that you have a relationship where it's friendly. I like liking my clients.
That's nice.
You want this to be somebody that you want to spend time with. So I think that it's crucial to get to know them. And there's different ways to do that. I think, though, a big barrier for a lot of contractors seeking support, because you'll often hear that most contractors wish they had hired both an administrator and a bookkeeper sooner than they did. And I think it's hard to sometimes imagine because most contractors do not have an office space. Most are working from maybe an office within their home or the dining room table.
That's where I started. I started at the literally, it was a corner in between our eating space and our living room. It was just this tiny little corner. Yeah.
So it's hard to imagine where you now put somebody to do this work. And so I think that that sometimes trips contractors up, and it doesn't have to be that way. I work from the comfort of my own home. You don't have to worry about the overhead of a space, or me working within your space. I also think that the financial aspect, you can find somebody that fits within any budget. There are plenty of options out there, from freelancing websites to honestly even doing a quick search for, say, a virtual assistant on Instagram. You can find anybody to fit any budget to really start helping you out. Yeah, I think that that is a support that everybody needs. It truly is, and one that makes a bigger difference the sooner you do it. I
Yeah, and
think that.
I think that one of the things to note for finding help and getting an idea of what it is that you want help with, because I think the biggest value that you bring is the experience that you've had, not just doing the work, but also in the field previously, knowing how things run. Like just being able to bring that experience to what you can offer just expands the possibility of what they can get you to do, versus whether they find a some generic VA, whether it be in, on Instagram or in the Philippines or on Upwork or whatever, you're less likely to find somebody that has the expertise that makes your life easier, that can do some things. I mean, if you just need somebody to manage your social media, okay, well then that's different. But for the skill set that you bring, I think is quite valuable. And so what is then, okay, because I guess since I mentioned the whole social media thing, I'm assuming that that's not a thing that you do. You focus more so on you said things like documentation or document creation, payroll, doing the processes, helping with the actual site work, ordering materials, or managing the people on site. All this stuff is really incredibly valuable for somebody who just gets overwhelmed by all of the little pieces. What don't you do?
Social media is a good place to start with that. Social media is not, it's not somewhere I even enjoy spending my own personal time. So it really is something that I tend not to offer my clients. I do have partnerships with other social media managers who can certainly step up in that way, but that is not something I enjoy doing. I'm definitely drawn more to the team aspect and the customer experience aspect. I think that those are two areas that really drive me. And by implementing better systems and processes, the byproduct is that your team is happier and sticks around longer. It really improves that retention. And the repeatable processes really help you carry out a far more consistent customer experience as well. So I really try to focus on those areas. I have learned that I don't love, and moving forward will not offer, inbound call support. So there are definitely also like other supports in that area who will handle that for multiple clients. They will just handle those incoming inquiries, and handle maybe outbound sales calls. That is also somewhere that it just doesn't light me up the same way. Yeah, so there's a few things that
I think that's good because you know your lane, you know where you're good, you know where you like to
yes.
spend your time, and to to put it out there, say if these are the things you're looking for, then maybe they can look elsewhere. Because I
Not
know
the
you
best
probably try to do it for somebody.
fit. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, is there anything else that what piece of advice would you give to somebody who right now is thinking, oh, should I do this? I just don't know. I mean, of course, we're going to say you need to get help sooner than you think you need it. But what could you give them to like provide a little bit of relief and just some, okay, this is the next step until, and I'll hire you next week.
Yeah, I think it's easy to see a support like me as an expense. I don't generally provide, I'm not an income generator in your business in the standard sense. The important thing to remember is that the way you spend that time you get back, time that you are now not spending on those tasks that you would have been, that is where the income generation comes from. What can you do with that time? How can you spend that time differently to generate more income and drive your business forward? So I think it's really easy to see me as an expense. And I would challenge the thinking and say that as a business owner, your time is far more valuable than what you pay me for my time.
So it's an investment.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Well, I think that that's great. Anything else you want to share with us before I let you go?
I think just that there is a better way and that you're not alone. I think to find a network, even outside of just like who can support you within your business, like find a network of people around you. I know it's been a game changer for me when it comes to business is speaking to other professionals within the industry. I've really been leaning into local networking groups of just women in the trades. And it's nice to have people around you who are going through the same thing.
Agreed. And that's why we do the Elite Warrior Women.
Absolutely.
One of the many reasons that we have that
it's
group.
Such a wonderful group. Such yeah. a wonderful group.
Yes, I agree. And thank you for being part of it. So I think that that's where we'll wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for being here. How can people get in touch with you? Because they're like, how do I get in touch? I need her. How do they get you?
The easiest way is to probably reach out on Instagram at Ascent Virtual Solutions.
Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, Ascent Solutions.
Ascent Virtual Solutions.
Virtual yep. Solutions.
I should okay. really consider shortening it.
That's all right. People who want to find you will find you. Ascent Virtual Solutions on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably the best. And if you take a look over there in the coming days, I've shared a bit of a promotion that we have going on as we head into the new year. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders, maybe with the tasks that have been kicking around probably since 2022. and so right now I'm offering 1-day implementation intensives where I come in and tackle absolutely as much of that to-do list as I can in a single day so that you can drive forward into that new year with a fresh start.
So the link to that, do you have like a landing page for it, or how can, like, is there something that I can put in the show notes that people can just click on to?
Yeah, no, I can definitely share that information so you can drop it in there.
Okay. Yeah. Send that over to me and I'll make sure I include it. All right. Thank you again. Have yourself a great day.
Thank you.